Daily news, breaking updates, and exclusive podcasts. iTricks.com.
To all of our New York City listeners, make sure you check out Randy lecturing for the New York City Skeptics' first anniversary. It takes place on October 10th at 7 p.m. in the Caspary Auditorium at Rockefeller University. Find out more information at nycskeptics.org. It's The Amazing Show, featuring the amazing James Randi. For more information on all things Randi, including the Million Dollar Challenge, head to randi.org. Hello and welcome to The Amazing Show. I'm Justin Robert Young from iTricks.com, as well as TalkingHeadTV.com. And joining me, as always, is the man who makes the show, recorded live in the Isaac Asimov Library of the James Randi Educational Foundation. It is the man himself, James Randi. How you doing, Randy?
Hello there. How are you?
Well, we have a email from one of our listeners, Jeff, who asks you to recount your history as the magic clown. He was actually a little trepidatious. Didn't know if you wanted to go into your history as the magic clown.
We'll do that in a moment, but I asked you a question.
How am I doing?
Yeah.
Oh, great. It's always great. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
When I lived in New Jersey, I had a real estate agent who was also my insurance agent. So I got to see him from time to time. Doug McConnell was his name. I guess Doug is probably no longer with us. But Doug had this peculiar thing that I've noticed in so many folks recently.
Mm-hmm.
They always say, "How are you?" and they don't expect an answer.
Yeah.
Now, what I do is I say, well, after my heart operation, I took almost a year to recuperate, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm feeling better now, though, since I'm watching my cholesterol and my diet. I have a strange diet. It's if anything tastes good, you have to spit it out. And if it tastes like cardboard, I can have the second helping. Ho, ho, ho. I started on this thing, and they look at me in astonishment because I'm answering their question. How are you? People have the, and Doug would not move from that. He'd say, "How are you, Randy?" And I'd say, "Doug, I came here to call." No, wait a minute. I said, "How are you?
How are you?" That was the point of inquiry, and he would follow on.
And I would say, "I'm fine, Doug." And he'd say, "Oh, good." And then he'd say, "What's your question?" You know, he had to have the question answered. This is a stupid formality
now,
that we go through.
Yeah. Would you say that, I mean, is that more of a recent thing, or is that just, you know, part of the quirk of the English language?
Well, I also
kind of popped up.
I get into this mode of saying, I'm near death. I don't expect to live for more than a week. And they look at you, and in many cases, they don't hear what you say.
No.
Because they're not prepared to receive an answer. They're not expecting it. They just have to say, "How are you?" Now, on the Today Show the other day, everybody they spoke to started out with, "How are you?" They'd already spoken previous to the program. They decided what they're going to discuss. But they had to ask that question.
That's a friendly thing, you know, when everybody's making cookies and, you know, hanging outside.
You know, how about
Blaine.
Something like, "How's your ass?"
Yeah.
You know, how's your chest for pimples? You know, you really want to know about my health? I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Not all that great. But anyway, moving right along,
moving
how about
right
the magic
along.
Clown
okay,
question?
Okay, the magic clown.
Now, who was this again? Who
this
asked
was, let me just double check, but I believe it is Jeff. Yes, Jeff.
Okay, Jeff. Let me tell you about the magic clown.
All right.
By the way, Jeff, how are you? Well, now, there was a program done on, I'm pretty sure it was on, yes, it was on WNEW. That was, I think, either Channel 11 or whatever in New York City. But it was an independent channel. I guess it's still going on in New York City. I don't know. But that was the same channel on which Wonderama played.
Mm-hmm.
And I was frequently on the Wonderama show many, many, many moons ago. But The Magic Clown was a program which was started by a man named Tico Bonomo. He used to sell Bonomo's Turkish Taffy, and their jingle went B-O-N-O-M-O, Bonomo, something like that. But it was a very big product. It was since sold to something like General Foods or whatever, and I guess it vanished overnight.
Yeah.
But it was a hard hunk of taffy, like a piece of broken brown glass, more or less, that you chomped on.
Good Lord.
But it was okay as a confection, I guess. But Tycho Bonhomol was the man who started this sort of thing. And Tycho owned the franchise called The Magic Clown. And The Magic Clown was never the same guy for very long. Dick, I can't think of the guy's name, Dick somebody or other, was The Magic Clown for the longest time. This was in days of black and white. And it was a live show because that was an awful lot cheaper to do. And because of that, it had some comedy items in it, I can tell you. Because magic shows that are done for kids don't always quite work out the way you plan them. But the Magic Clown was on sometime like 4 or 4:30 in the afternoon, I guess 4:30 or so in the afternoon. And when the kids got home from school, if they got home from school by that time, they would watch it. Now, we didn't have days of videotape and repeating programs, of course, at that time. So kids would all rush home to see the Magic Clown. And whoever was doing the Magic Clown that week would be showing up in Tannen's Magic Store at, was it 1560 Broadway, I believe? That is no longer there.
Okay.
And it was on the top floor. And Lou Tannen ran the Magic Emporium. And the guy who was doing the Magic Clown would always come in desperation sometime in the morning looking for a trick that he could do to entertain the kiddies later on that day. And, of course, it usually botched up completely because these things take a certain amount of practice. It's like playing the piano, you know?
Even for kids.
Yes, even for kids. So that was always a humorous thing. But the job of the Magic Clown changed from person to person. Now, the reason it was done as a magic clown was that the clown couldn't be recognized. So you could have the same costume and the same nose and the same makeup on another guy with a totally different voice. Hello, boys and girls. Hi, boys and girls. And the kids were not supposed to know.
Switch them out like Mexican wrestlers.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. You didn't know the difference and you didn't care. But it sold an awful lot of taffy, it seems. And so Tycho was very happy with the program.
E-O-N-O-M-A.
And then the program faded out of existence with a lot of kids' programs, as they did in those days. And Wonderama went along with it. Then I got a call from Tycho saying, we're going to start up the Magic Clown again, but we're going to do it in a different way. And this was a very good commercial idea. I still think it could be used.
Okay.
This is what
Hold on. Here we go. Get out a pen and pencil.
Now, think of small towns all over the USA and Canada.
Gotcha.
All right? Small towns often have their local television stations, channel umpteen or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have a very big reach, but it doesn't have to because it only covers the local farming community, let's say.
Yeah.
The host to go on that program is going to be Uncle Charlie or Mr. Bob or whoever it might be.
All right.
And they adopt a certain personality for the local town, and they identify the local town constantly on the program, so the kids feel that they belong, and so do the adults. But they lack having some sort of talent in there, like a magician or a singer or whatever.
Now I think I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, yeah. So they needed something they could drop into the program.
There we go.
So Tycho got this idea, and again, I say this was a very good idea, and it could still work. And Tycho, if you're listening, get it going again. And I know a lot of guys would like to step into position on it. He called me to do some test shows, more or less, that they tested in various communities. I'll tell you where they played in a minute. He offered me very fancy money, and I was wearing the beard at the time, and he even sent me out to a wig maker to have a substitute beard made, because I depended so much on having the beard that I wasn't recognizable without it. And gotcha. I have an exceedingly ugly chin anyway. And I think it's receding. I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to feel it through the beard here. Maybe it was receding. I don't know. But he provided this for me because I had to shave off the beard.
Yes.
He had to pay me X number of dollars to do that.
All right.
This was negotiated through my favorite agent in New York City, of course. And I had to be able to stick the beard right back on again because I had some some contracts to fulfill.
Yeah.
As James Randi.
It's a business ticket.
And not as the Magic Clown. You may have guessed that. So I got the fake beard made. And this is in the middle of the blazing winter. It was ridiculous. I had to go out into the blazing winter in New York City to the studio with a bare chin. Now, this doesn't mean anything to you.
Yeah.
Because at the moment you have a bare chin, though I've seen you with an unbare chin.
Yes. Yeah.
But when you've worn a beard all of your life pretty well, not since, well, since puberty, let's put it that way. Yes, yeah. It was difficult
since
before
it were
that.
Feasible.
I tried, but it didn't work. It's quite shocking to have the beard suddenly missing.
Yeah.
Now, even when I had my heart bypass, that was within the last couple of years, they didn't shave the beard off. They just trimmed it way down.
Gotcha.
And they felt that I would notice it and feel uncomfortable, and I would have. Even in my delirium, I would have felt uncomfortable. So I had to shave the beard off right to the bone, so to speak. And, of course, I insisted that my name would not appear on screen.
Yeah.
I didn't want to be connected with the Magic Clown character. And I used a falsetto, like, hi, boys and girls, kind of thing. At least I think that's what it was. Maybe the way it came across.
Yeah,
and
that was the intent.
The film still exists, so maybe we can find out one of these days.
I'm sure it's on YouTube.
Yes. So I wore the usual Magic Clown makeup, which is sort of standard, and a wig. And I tried not to be recognized as James Randi. But the money was very attractive, as I say, so I wasn't feeling any pain at all. Well, I did them in a rather peculiar but very clever way. What they would do in the studio is they would aim the camera off into the dark, into the wings, and then you'd hear this drum roll come up and a little musical introduction, a few little notes there. And the camera would swing around and zoom in on me and come to focus. But when they used these inserts, it was intended that the camera in the studio would react the same way. In other words, the host would say something to the effect, and now it's time for a visit from the Magic Clown. And here he is.
Yeah.
And the camera would smear in, pan in, yes, and would apparently come to focus. But the kids in the background would be out of focus and in the dark, so to speak.
Yes.
And they wouldn't be seen as individual people. And the rest of the studio wouldn't be seen as an individual studio. It would be mostly in close-up with a solid color background.
Yes.
And I would do the trick and then say, and that's all there is today from the Magic Clown. And now back to your studio. And the camera would smear off again. And so it made a handy drop-in, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd pay X number of dollars to use it and whatnot. So I think we did, maybe 6 or 8 of them altogether.
Okay.
I had to write up a little script for them. And again, I wasn't recognized as myself, and it was done in color, though it could be shown in black and white, of course, because some stations were still black and white in those days. So I prepared this series and then went home and concentrated on growing the beard again. And that takes a lot of attention, takes a lot of concentration.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good part of your day.
You have to sit there and say, grow, you know. Or call Deepak Chopra, maybe he could help you. So that was the history of how the Magic Clown got originated. Now, I was just sent some 16mm film. In those days, we didn't have color kinescopes.
Gotcha.
Convenient. They were done on 16mm color film.
All right.
And it could be dubbed into color tape later on, but that was the cheapest and quickest way and I guess best way to do it in those days. I got sent a box full of the films.
And nice.
I gave instructions to Rich. I don't know whether we ever got those switched over to videotape, but I think I'll put one up on YouTube.
Excellent. All right. So we have forthcoming Magic Clown footage to the World Wide Web. Now, you mentioned that there were certain markets that you were popular in. The Magic Clown was sweeping the farm communities of North America.
I only played in Detroit and Rhodesia. Those were the two.
Okay. Now, I'm geographically ignorant. Where would be Rhodesia?
Rhodesia is in Africa.
Oh.
Yes, yes.
Okay, well, there
and
we go.
I don't know what town, and I don't want to know. But they apparently were either bought or tried out or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But those are the only reports I ever got, and I think I might have heard something about it otherwise. But those are the only two markets that we entered at all. The idea didn't sell, and I don't quite know why it didn't sell. Maybe it was priced too high. I don't know what the story was, but I regrew the beard and went back into business, and I haven't shown any scars since.
Yeah, maybe the Turkish chaffy just wouldn't catch it.
That could be.
Certain other markets.
Well, they didn't advertise Turkish chaffy.
Oh, okay, so okay.
They just advertised any old product that came along, sure.
Yeah.
But I still have the Red Wing. It's in a bag someplace. It's probably lost its color altogether. But if I ever need to disguise myself, I can jam the Red Wing on and no one will ever guess, right?
As long as you use the falsetto.
Of course. Hey, hi, boys and girls. So that's the story of the Magic Clown as I knew it. And I guess I spent that money a long time ago.
Well, are there any other alter egos that did you have floating around there aside from your time as the Magic Clown?
Well, the one is a great lover, but I don't want to get into all the details of that. Of course, because that might embarrass a lot of folks out there that, well, it's a long story and I don't want to get into that. But I was at one time, temporarily,
okay,
very briefly, the Magic Clown.
Questions? Comments? Topic suggestions? Email randy@itricks.com.